Sim StoryCorps is a candid conversation between two educators about what's really important in the field of education: students, connections, hope, success. How did Sim contribute to attaining what matters most? Listen to these stories of the educator's heart to find out. Then we invite you to find a partner and tell your story. In this Sim StoryCorps, we'll hear Richard Goldhammer, a SIM professional developer in Massachusetts, and Sue Woodruff, a SIM professional developer in Michigan, talk about Richard's experiences with integrating SIM into his work as a learning specialist at Harvard Medical School.
So, Rich, how did you learn about SIM?
Well, I learned about SIM back in 1991 when my boss at the time was directing services for students with learning disorders at BU, and I coordinated the program. And he talked about the magic of KU and the chance to learn learning strategies, and I was hooked. So in 1992, I went to Kansas along with some colleagues who'd gotten wind that I was going, Dr. Bashir from Emerson College, Dr. Mooney from Boston College, and Phil Tatro from Dean Junior College. So we all descended onto the SIM conference and formed a study group. And I think the first strategy we learned was pirates. But I was just taken by direct instruction. I was just, everything about it I soaked up. And it was a wonderful chance to develop as a teacher. And later I went back in the 2000s. I attended probably three conferences in the 1990s and went back in the 2000s. And in the late 20-teens, lo and behold, I met you through Jim Knight. And the rest is history as far as we go. You've had such a profound influence on my work at HMS that I could never thank you enough.
Well, thank you so much. But so tell me, you're at HMS, if you'd tell us what that is and how do you apply SIM now?
Sure. So Harvard Medical School, I work in the Office of Learning Resources and Support as the one learning specialist there. And my boss is a psychiatrist who directs the office and does a lot of administrative work along with seeing students. And I just see students mostly one-to-one, but when I give presentations, it might be to, 100 students. In the one-to-one setting, I continue to use direct instruction principles. Assessing has now morphed with fewer visits into learning full conversations with students about how they approach learning so I can and they can understand what they do, and anticipation of thinking about describing, modeling, giving feedback, guided instruction together about maybe an approach that would be more effective. Somehow instructional coaching from attending the conference or two back in the 20-teens and reading Jim Knight's book has become a part of my work and engaging in conversation with students. And that has fed nicely into their becoming metacognitive in their thinking, reflecting on themselves as learners and physicians, which HMS is very keen for students to do, and therefore to set the basis for becoming lifelong learners.
So it sounds like the whole process of learning how to learn has really impacted what you do there, because it's pretty amazing, you know, that this position is at Harvard Medical School, and yet you can still help these students do better, and they've been responding to you. Plus the instructional coaching, you're working with adults, so that's got to help too. That's fabulous. When you first started at HMS, how did you feel initially? And then how do you feel now? Was it intimidating to start there?
Oh, for sure. I mean, and you know my story. I've been a learning specialist at various universities and coordinated some programs at BU and then later at MIT, which was intimidating in of itself. But Harvard Medical School, I definitely felt intimidated when I started in 2015. And the faculty and staff and students could not be more respectful and accommodating, but they're super achievers and, you know, gifted and from all over the world. So I wasn't sure how direct instruction would work, how some of the strategy, strategic instruction principles would work. And I found out by trying, failing, reflecting, learning, repeat. But it was very productive to do that as I started to streamline and modeling, feedback, and of course, assessing, well, and describing all came to the fore as important pieces to continue to use, along with the paraphrasing strategy, which I'll touch on in a minute. You know, I love that strategy. I feel more confident now, a lot more confident. And, you know, like all of us as lifelong learners, we acquire knowledge. And as a colleague at HMS has said, knowledge lifts all boats. And I agree with that. And meeting you and working with you from, I think it was what, late in my third year there to present was the game changer. Because now I had someone to try, fail, and learn with, and who could support me as I started to retarget what I was trying to do and learn in a way that was very safe and respectful and wise, I might add.
And it sounds, I know from talking with you, the students have responded tremendously well to your instruction too.
I've been grateful for that.
Yeah. So can you give me an example of the kind of thing that you've done related to the principles of strategic instruction with these students at Harvard Medical School?
Of course. And I will just say one more thing about my experience with Harvard Medical School students. Students of all levels of success at the medical school benefit in some way, whether it's the principles of involved with modeling or feedback or open-ended questions and listening that is so central to instructional coaching. But for an example, I have a PowerPoint which introduces students to more effective approaches to learning as they begin to practice in our sessions. And there's content related to or reflecting the brain as a controller of processes related to re-regulating blood pressure or reestablishing homeostasis, an important theme in the pre-clerkship curriculum. And so we talk about the Texas two-step versus the three-step waltz, which you may recall. Mm-hmm. And I like the Texas two-step, but in this case, it's really reflecting an ineffective approach to learning where a student might read a chunk of text, like, for example, about blood pressure, and take notes. And it becomes a one, two. I read one, and two, I take notes. And as we all know, that approach can become too rote, and you forget to decide what's important to write down. And the notes can become quite lengthy, pretty much as lengthy as the original passage. And so, you know, they get to see that and have some amusement. But we want to move toward, and this is where rap comes in, the waltz, which is, in my mind, represents three-step notes. So I might read or watch a chunk of information, in this case, about regulating blood pressure, ask what it's about, and look away as I'm doing it, never to peek. So I force my mind to really apply what I know to this new information initially, and then put it into my own words. Once I've done that, I can select the notes I want to write. I have also transferred that information initially into long-term memory. The point of learning, maybe not the point, but a major purpose is to acquire knowledge.
And especially for these students at Harvard Medical School who have so much to integrate. Rich, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Talking with you today.